Welcome to Well Balanced Life. I'm Melanie, and I have to say, life is not feeling so balanced these days. I think at the end of the podcast, I'm going to share with you why I chose that name, and basically it's not a poem, I don't think, but it's something that inspired me to choose that. So I will share that at the end. It's kind of neat. But anyway, it's just been a real hectic few months, so I appreciate the understanding of us doing this podcast a little bit late. And as you can see, it's just me today. Gracie was supposed to be with me, and I think the topic she had chose was communication. We were going to talk about that today, but we just have not been able to get our schedules together. I've been working full-time and traveling off and on with work and also doing school. I've been doing school online for 2.5 years, and it's finally coming to an end this, not this month, but April. So coming up very soon, but I've got a couple big assignments and then some exams to get done. I've been traveling for training. Emma and I just got back from Scarborough actually last night, which I actually tried to do this podcast a few times last night, but I was so tired and the microphone wasn't working properly. And yeah, so it is Sunday. I'm doing it today and I'm going to get this posted today. but Emma and I did a workshop called Sib Shops actually. And it is for children and teens who have a sibling with special needs. So it's not for your child with special needs, but it's for their siblings. And it is such a great program. And yesterday was such an inspiring day when we got to watch and help facilitate one of those programs. So we will be facilitating some of those workshops in the near future with some coworkers of mine, which I'm really excited to do. And I will be sharing more of that with you on our blog and on our Facebook page. Just what those sip shops are all about. It's just nice for them to have a safe space to go and be with other kids who understand. And anyways, yeah, it was super exciting. So, and then I'm off this upcoming weekend. We've had, I'm in a singing chorus, and we have a competition coming up next weekend. I guess this weekend coming now. Shout out to my North Metro family. They are incredible, and it's been a little different with COVID, just getting back to singing and stuff. So we've had a couple of weeks where we had to travel to Toronto twice in the week. So that just added to it too. So Gracie's not here with me today, but I'm definitely going to grab her over the next couple of days when I know that we're both home together, and maybe we could do a few podcasts and save them so we don't run into this again. But I thought I would keep with the same topic of it. I wouldn't say that I'm overwhelmed or stressed out or anything. I have been enjoying things day to day, taking things day to day as well. But it's just been, the only word I can think of is busyness. We've been very, very busy, all of us actually, in the household. So I guess that can kind of lead into, that made me think of transitions. And not only when we are busy, are we rushing our kids out the door, or maybe we don't have things organized and planned the night before and things come up that we either forgot about or weren't expecting. So a lot of those things can be really challenging for our kids. Not only do they feel our overwhelming energy, but they also have to deal with each transition. And a transition can be going from home to school or daycare to grocery shopping. It's any change. And it can also be a change in activity. And that happens quite often throughout the school day when they're going from, each English to math or math to science, science to French. It starts right in the morning, right, with O Canada to whatever plan the teacher has for that day. There's a lot of different transitions throughout the day. And same thing goes for home. We are doing many different things at home, whether it's within our own home or whether it's needing to go out into the community. So I thought I could give you a few little strategies to help with those transitions. The first one that I always suggest is having a visual schedule. There are programs out there that have different visuals and stuff for you to purchase, or like a software program where you can print out pictures. But really, you can get a lot of pictures just from the internet. Some visual schedules are already created that you can just download and print out yourself. Or you can just go to Google Images and grab those photos that you need to make your own schedule. So I often, you want to meet your child where they're at. So if your child doesn't read and they do well with visuals, and just having the pictures on there is good enough. So you can just have a list in the order of what you're going to be doing things for the day with pictures only, or you can do pictures and words, or you can do have the time written down even with the picture beside the time of when you're going to be doing those things, or you can just have words written down on a piece of paper. We definitely started with pictures, and then we went to pictures and words, and as Gracie learned to read, we got to the point where we were able to just grab a scrap piece of paper even and write down what we were doing for that day. There are many, many families out there who are able to have a very consistent routine where the same thing is being done every day, or like every Monday it's the same, every Tuesday it's the same, every Wednesday it's the same. And I admire that. I think it's incredible. You know, it really does provide the kids a sense of safety and security. And honestly, my family is not like that. It's just not possible for us to have such a consistent routine. And I will also say, though, that when prior to Gracie going to school, there really wasn't much of a routine. I did have a home daycare, so I guess there was. But it was within the home. And once she got to school and everything was the same thing each day, at least the routine was the same of going to school and starting her day off, that's when we actually ran into some problems, because if something changed, then it was meltdown city. I mean, she could not handle change. So if you are somebody who does have a very scheduled routine and you're able to follow that on a daily basis, I do think it's important to incorporate some areas where you can fit in some change to teach them about what to do when there is a change, and especially an unexpected change. And I'm not saying like do something to, you know, traumatize them or do something that's going to upset their mental health in any way, but you know, change is a part of life. Things happen and we don't have control over it. So in my opinion, it's healthy for them to learn how to have that change, how to handle that change. But in saying that, obviously, if you're able to keep that safe and secure home for them, that's ultimately your goal, right? But like I said, in our case, it was just impossible. I had two other children who had different activities. My husband has always worked shift work. So it just wasn't feasible for us to have the same routine at home every single day. So one thing that I was able to do, though, was create a schedule of those things that I knew that we were doing for sure. She was always going to have breakfast, a mid-morning snack, lunch, a mid-afternoon snack, and dinner. And then her nighttime routine was always the same. So every day I would write that down because that was a given. And it just, even though she knows that that's what we did every day, seeing that written down gave her some comfort. And if we had a doctor's appointment or something else in between, then I can just fit it in where it was needed. The whole food routine, though, actually came up because of Gracie's obsession with food. And I know there's a lot of other kids that are obsessed with food. She's not the only one. So we'll definitely do a podcast on that. But it did help with our day-to-day somewhat type of routine. And we even use routines for the order of like how to clean her apartment. So like I said, we had gotten to the point where we could grab a scrap piece of paper and write down her schedule for her. Well, I did actually just print out some pictures of her favorite character, Bluey. Her character is in one picture vacuuming, in another picture sweeping, in another picture doing dishes, in another picture Bluey is doing the laundry. And I'm going to have that down as a visual to show her what to do with the days that she's supposed to do each thing on. You know, and Gracie often will say, I don't need that. I'm 19 years old now. But it's quite common that sometimes we need to go back to the basics, and it's okay. But we often forget that we can go back to those basics. You know, it doesn't mean that they've regressed in any sort of way. It just means that, you know what, something's not working right now. Let's take something. Let's take the tools that are in our toolbox that worked for us in the past, because they probably will work again even years later. The next thing that was really helpful for us was a first then board. So when I say board, it's literally just a piece of cardstock paper that was laminated, and it has the word first on one side and the word then right beside it. It's just a block. And I know for a fact that you can print that out, like it's already created online. You can download it, print it, and it's yours to use. So I will put that link in the podcast website. And I probably do have it on the blog somewhere too, maybe in the resources section. But the first then is basically taking that whole visual schedule. Sometimes when a child sees everything that they're doing in a day, that can be overwhelming for some of our kids too. So, you know, pay attention to that and see if it is too much. And even if it's not, the first then is still helpful, because it's just a reminder that first we're going to do this, then we're going to do that. And when I say it's a square cardstock, there's also Velcro on there for you to stick the pictures of what it is that you're doing. So first we're going to brush our teeth, then we're going to have breakfast. First we're going to, that you would just switch it over once she finishes brushing her teeth and you move the breakfast picture over. First we're going to have breakfast, then we're going to pack our backpack. Or it can be when you're leaving and you're out in the community and you have all these errands to run. First, we're going to the grocery store, then we're going to the pet store to get dog food, whatever. So they can be made small enough that you can take them with you, keep them in your purse or your pocket. And that's been very helpful just for the kids to be aware of, okay, first I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that. And those first then boards can also help with non-preferred activities. So you can say if they hate going to the grocery store, but then they get to use their iPad or something in the car when you're going to the next place, it can be first we're going to the grocery store, then you get your iPad. And another thing that's helpful too is providing a choice when that's possible. So if we go back to the, having to do some errands, if you need to go to the grocery store, you need to go to the pet store, you need to run to the bank, you can ask your child if they're capable of answering you which place they would like to go first. So you're still going to do those three, you're still going to go to those three places, but you're giving them the option to choose what order they want to do it in. So anytime you have an opportunity to provide them with a choice that still meets your needs as well, why not offer them those choices? It just helps them feel like they have a little bit more of control in situations where they don't feel like they have control or situations that are overwhelming for them, but they have a choice in that. So it just helps provide a little sense of calmness and control in their lives. Another thing that was very helpful too is a 5-4-3-2-1 board. I'm not sure if that's what it's called, and I don't know if that's something that you can actually Google and see, but it's something that we used because I don't think I'm the only one, but quite often, you know, when you say, oh, we're leaving in 5 minutes, we don't ever leave in 5 minutes exactly. And this is also very important if you're teaching your children about time, because, if we say we're leaving in 5 minutes and an hour later we get out the door, your child's not really going to understand what that feels like, what 5 minutes feels like. They're going to think that it feels like an hour. And oftentimes too, we'll say 5 minutes, but we're not really sure if it's going to be maybe 10 minutes. So if you have a 5-4-3-2-1 board, it's basically the same thing as the first then board. It's just a strip of a piece of paper cardstock. So just a thicker paper. And it's laminated as well with a strip of Velcro, which you can get at the dollar store easily enough. So, and if it is like a harder piece of paper, you don't even need to laminate it, but it will last longer if they're laminated. But we have a strip of Velcro that goes across the width of the page, and then little squares that have the numbers 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And so we also put Velcro on the back of that strip as well. So that way when you take off the 5, I'll explain it, but when you take off a number, you can stick it on the back and then you don't lose them or have no place to put them. So a 5-4-3-2-1 board would be used if, like I said, we're about to leave someplace, and instead of saying 5 minutes, we're just going to say, Johnny, you're at a 5, and show them the board with the five numbers on it. And then, you know, do your thing. Then say, Johnny, we're at a four. And then you show them, take off the five, put it on the back, and show them the numbers from four to one. And then, you know, you get busy doing other things. And then it's like, oh, Johnny, we're at a three. And then you take the four off. Again, you put it on the back of the card so they can't see that, but all they can see is 3, 2, 1. And the reason why I really like this is because sometimes we don't realize, like we might think that we have 5 minutes, but yet we need to get out the door in way less time. Or if you're at school and an activity went a little bit longer than planned, and now we've got a rush to get to recess or rush to get outside or rush to move on to the next thing, you can actually say, oh, Johnny, we're at a three, and then show them 3, 2, 1. And 10 seconds later, you can say, we're at a two, and then we're at a one with, you know, 5 seconds after that. So it's a really neat piece that, you know, it allows the kids to get that countdown. It's basically their warning, because a lot of our kids need that. Warning seems like a negative term, but I don't mean a warning as, you know, if you don't do this, then there's trouble. But I mean, it gives them a warning because they need that up front to help them. Because those transitions are so hard, if we just said, okay, time's up, you're done, we've got to go, that's when we can see a lot of meltdowns. So just showing them a visual of when it is that they're going to be transitioning from one thing to another can be so helpful. Another thing that was kind of helpful, we had a real challenging experience with Gracie going from home to school. Every single morning, she would scream bloody murder in the car going from home to school. And she liked school. Like, it wasn't like she wanted to avoid going. And even to this day, I have no idea why she was freaking out the way she was. But what we ended up doing was, I think we changed the time that she was going to school so it wasn't as overwhelming. Like, she wasn't walking into an area where there was a bunch of kids, because crowds and loud noises and stuff were hard for her. So I don't know, maybe we dropped her off a few minutes after the bell rang so that she could meet her EA and then go into the school. But another thing that I've done with Gracie and with some other kids was transition bags. So it's just a little, again, you can get these little cloth type bags from the dollar store that just had some items in there that she could play with or look at. There might have been fidget toys in there, sensory ball, like, you know, those balls that you can squeeze and stuff. Just a few little things, including the characters that she liked, right? Because that would entice her. It would be more interesting to her, I mean. So we would have these transition bags. So and she did not get to use these bags or play with anything in those bags unless we were transitioning from one place to another. So for us, that was home to school. So that little bag stayed in the car. And there were times where I would need it maybe at the front door because I needed to get her into the car. So it was like, grab your transition bag and let's go. So that just helped take her mind off whatever it was that she was having such a hard time with this transition for. So, I've used that for some kids in class where they would have a transition bag to go from one period to another. Because sometimes kids will have to go to another classroom for science, for example, or to go from the classroom to the gym. So we would just have that hanging on their hook. When we got their gym shoes, we would grab their transition bag and walk over to gym class. And that was really helpful too, not only for that transition of going from point A to point B, but to keep them a little bit busy while we waited for all of the kids to get ready. Because quite often the kids are lined up in the gym and you're always waiting for somebody to tie their shoes or for the teacher to get the items that they're going to be using out of the equipment room, or you're waiting for instruction, and waiting can be so hard for our kids. So having that little transition bag was very helpful. And again, only using that when you transition. I thought it was also important to maybe mention when a change does happen. So, and again, this might go under another topic and we may talk about it again later, but when our kids are having such a hard time with transitioning, if you throw in an added change in your schedule or routine, that can just like be so hard, so hard. So one way that we did that was We had a little baggie, just those snack size bags that had a little, again, laminated card on it. You can just get cardstock and write on it, but it had a sticker of a star and it just said change of plans on the top with an exclamation mark. And in that little baggie was like one piece of gum. There might have been a lollipop or a little character squishy toy that Gracie could choose from. So when there was a change in plan, and you know what? Gracie is 19 and she still struggles when things change last minute. So we don't need to use this anymore. She may just have a little cry and that's it. But back in the day, there was like it was screaming and meltdown. So we would have a little bag and we would say, oh, there's a change of plans. You get to pick something from the bag. And then she would pick whatever it was that she wanted. And usually it was food. Gracie loves food. So usually it was a lollipop or something. But while she was sucking on her sucker or chewing that gum or playing with that little squishy toy, we could explain to her why there was a change and what that change is going to look like. And it was just a way to kind of keep her busy while we explained that so that she just didn't hear, oh, we're not doing this anymore. We have to go do this. The last thing that I can think of is to just have the items ready that you need for the next activity to eliminate those wait times as well. So one example could be like at mealtime. If your child is playing, especially if it's a preferred toy that they're playing with or doing a preferred activity, and then it's lunchtime and they don't want to come to lunch, just having their meal ready at the table so that way you're not gathering them when they don't want to come and putting them at the table and then putting the food on the plate and getting that ready where they have to sit and wait for you to do it. And I know, you know, sometimes as parents, we look at that and we're like, you know, they need to learn to wait and they need to learn to be patient and they need to learn all those things and they will get there. But you want to practice those things when they are in a good space. And we don't want to practice those skills when we know that it's a struggle for them. So that will come, and I will do another episode on probably waiting, maybe, because waiting was another reason for a meltdown as well. So I'll probably do that one soon too. But when, for example, when we would go to a restaurant, we started off where we couldn't just go to a restaurant, look at the menu, choose what we wanted to eat, order it, then wait for it to be cooked. We had to start off by calling the restaurant ahead of time, ordering our food and explaining to them, I have a daughter with autism who really struggles to wait, so we would like to order our food now, and then we will drive to your restaurant, and hopefully the food will be ready shortly thereafter. And then we were able to eat. And like I said, Gracie would just take her plate and chuck it. So we started at home using a timer, again from the dollar store. You can get these little timers that you can set for like 5 seconds. And she had to sit there for 5 seconds and then the timer went off and I would pick her up and we would go. And eventually she got to learn that when that timer goes is when I can leave. We actually started off with counting actually, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then we would take her. And then we got these timers when she could sit for longer periods. So, you know, that's just something else to consider is, yes, we will work on these skills that she needs, but we don't want to do that when it's still causing major, major meltdowns. We want to do it when they're in a better place to do that. So that's it today for some strategies with transitions. There's a whole bunch out there. And like I said, and I say all the time, all of our kids are unique. They are their own individual. And what works for one person might not work for another. So that's why we just need to be creative and think about things that are going to be very helpful to our own individual kids, right? So if you are struggling with something, feel free to just shoot me a private message on Facebook. And we do have our email address, wellbalancedlife@rogers.com. You know, you can always reach out. And if there's something specific that I might be able to help you with, I'm super happy to do that. So I did say that I was going to share with you a reason behind the name Well Balanced Life. And I'm just going to pull it up here to read it. It was written by Rachel Braithen, Yoga Girl, and you can find her at yogagirl.com. And it might not be exactly what you think it is about balancing things. So here, balance is the key in everything you do. Dance all night long and practice yoga the next day. Drink wine, but don't forget your green juice. Eat chocolate when your heart wants it and kale salad when your body needs it. Wear high heels on Saturday and walk barefoot on Sunday. Live high and low, move and stay still. Embrace all sides of who you are. Be brave, bold, spontaneous, and loud, and let that complement your abilities to find silence, patience, modesty, and peace. Aim for balance. Make your own rules and follow your own path, and don't let anybody tell you how to live according to theirs. So I just loved how it doesn't mean that having a well-balanced life means that you need to eat all the right things and exercise daily and do all those things that you need to do, what some might consider a balanced life, to keep that calm. It's making sure that we find the joy in both the heartache, the challenging times, and the brightness that we can see, right? So anyways, thanks for listening, and thanks again for your patience for this being delayed. I think if anybody's going to understand why we don't have something on our scheduled date, it's going to be you guys. You're fantastic, and you live this, so you understand that life can take its corners, right? We've got a lot of things on our plate when we are supporting other people that have these exceptionalities. So if anything, it shows you that you know, we have our struggles too, and we are human. And what I like to say at the end of every podcast, you're not alone.